Oh, yes, it must be 1930 UTC. If you're hearing that, the other clue would be you're hearing me. My name's Tobe. And what am I doing? Well, other than being the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, I'm sitting here somewhere in my car. Oh, yeah. And where am I? What am I doing? Well, you know, it's that time again. And I don't mean 1930 UTC. I mean, it's springtime. It's cricket season here in Nebraska. And that means I'm out at the cricket fields, which are pretty much across the street from Herrenhaven. I can see Herrenhaven from where I'm parked. So, why am I still sitting in the car? Well, it's very windy. And, oh, we almost saw a boundary four there. It's very windy, and I don't know what the quality of the sound is going to be like. Let's open the door. No, it's pretty windy. I'm looking around. I can see a lot of dogs in the dog park. I can see the BMX track behind me. And in front of me, like I said, the cricket fields. There are two. There are two games going on right now. And I don't recognize any of the pseudo uniforms. Okay, we're getting back in the car here, I think. Back in the car we go. And it looks like this game just ended. What's going on over there then? Well, that game is still going on. Yes, well, I'd love to launch into what's going on here, but the game just ended. I think they play T16, these guys, not T20. And I don't think I'm going to be explaining that today. We need to find something else to do. This is not cricket week. Eventually, we're going to have an entire week of shows. It'll be nothing but cricket. But that's not going to be today. So what are we going to do instead? I'm not too sure.
Tu estación 102.3 El Patrón.
And through the magic of radio, here I am. Where are we? Well, you can tell that the wind isn't nearly as bad, and you've probably noticed that I'm still outside. I was intending to go home, but then I thought, then I was driving by the ravine, and I thought, oh, maybe we should go down into the ravine. And it's a very deep ravine. It's at least 10 meters deep right here. And this would be the ravine that is by my house. It has a creek running through it. I am in a watershed. I don't know the name of this creek. If I had to guess, I would say Maplewood Creek or something of that nature. And I sort of parked far away, and I walked in the wind along the edge, and I looked down into here, and I saw a lot of marmot holes, but I didn't see any marmots. And so now I'm down here in the, I don't know, what do you call it, the bottom of the ravine here. And I just got down here, and I'm sort of stomping along, and I see footprints over there in that wet sand. I can still hear the wind blowing above me, but it's not blowing down here. First thing we need to do is go over here and check this den over here. And there's people footprints down here in the mud too. Now I know there's a den around right up here. I'm looking for marmots. And I'm also kind of looking for mushrooms, but it's been a little dry. I don't think this is going to be a mushroomy day, but geez, that den back there, that kind of looks like it's been dug out. Well, there's a little bit of a breeze down here, and that's good, keeping it cool, I guess. It is a pretty warm day today. Is it 70 degrees? Ooh, I don't know. Maybe close to 70 degrees. Now there's another den up here. Oh, and I can tell from here that this den is in use. There is loose dirt
everywhere. Somebody's been digging. Somebody's been digging in there. I'm standing on a log trying to look into the hole. But nobody is looking back. Alright, so now what? I guess we keep going a little ways here, see what we got. Oh, I wish I could have stayed and watched cricket. I'm pretty excited for cricket season to start. I do enjoy watching cricket. Now, is there another den up here? And am I on an animal path? This seems like it's a little animal path. Yeah, I seem to remember that there's a... there's the den right there. Oh, it's hard to see from here. Jeez, it also looks like it is dug out and in active use. But I don't see any marmots. Where can my marmotties be? Where's my marmots? Where's my marmots? All right. Well, on this side of the creek, we can't really go much further. We can either go in the other direction, or we can try to cross the creek. There's no good place to cross around here, except for this big log that goes all the way across, and it's about a 10-meter walk. It doesn't go directly across the creek. It sort of is at an angle. Do I want to... How's my balance today? Do I feel like balancing out? Well, hey, and what's over there? That is another marmot den. It's got fresh dirt kicked out of it, but I don't see any mutties. I'm going to test my balance here today. I'm walking on the log, but only over land to test my balance to see if I have what it takes today to get across the creek. And to be honest, I think I do. Except for this part of the log right here where I do not get a good footing because there is a knot. Okay. Now I'm at the point of no return. I can keep walking on this log and try to cross the creek, or I can jump down and stay on this side. Well, I think we're going for it, kids. I am now doing my best tightrope walker imitation, walking across the log. Do-do-do-do-do, and my balance is just fine as I step off the log onto the other bank. Right under a very obvious mati den. And there's a den right there. But there's no matis around, so let's just keep walking. Which way are we going? We're going downstream. And the wind, the slight breeze that is blowing here, it's blowing into my face. And that's good for two reasons. That means it's blowing my scent away from the direction I'm walking, meaning that I'm more likely to be able to approach animals. And I can also smell something on the wind. It was something stinky. And this is not a muskrat area. This could be a skunky area, but it didn't smell like skunks. Never seen any deer down here. Kind of smelled like fox, but it was so faint that I couldn't really tell. So we're just walking along here. Do-do-do-do-do. The valley of this ravine gets really wide right here. And not quite as deep. And I'm doing nothing but scanning the banks, looking for marmots or marmot tracks, which I think I see. There are some tracks down in the mud here, but from this distance I can't tell if they are
marmot tracks or raccoon tracks. This is a very heavy raccoon area. All the raccoons that come to visit me at my house, I think, live in this area. They come down here in the creek. All right. What is going on here? Not much. But I will remind you that I am near a golf course. Across the bank from me is my little neighborhood golf course, so there's a golf ball down here. Everywhere I go to look for marmots, it seems to be close to a golf course. So whenever I'm looking for marmots, I often find golf balls. All right, here's an area that lots of dirt. Where's all the holes? Where's my mutty? Where's my mutts? Oh, I know where I am now. Yeah. Right here on this side of the creek, there's another access point. This is what I call the junior high access point. There's a junior high school. I'm very close to my house, and as you know, I live very close to a junior high school. And after school, this is where some of the kids like to come and hang out. Because, you know, it's a nice park. You can come down here and look for marmots if you're so inclined. But as inclined as I am to look for them, I'm just not finding any. I thought, oh, this will be a good place to go. We'll find some mutts because nobody will be down here. It's a nice warm day. All of the things that a marmot likes, you know, a warm day and the sun and privacy. This place has got it. And yet, no mutties. All right. I'm just turning around and I'm heading back now. Which means we're going to have to go over the log bridge again. Or I could just go up here, then walk all the way around the park. It's probably about a mile if I walk the long way. So yeah, we're not going to do that. And see, down here in the mud, we got some animal tracks. Yeah, I can't, they're kind of old. I can't tell what they are. And I keep thinking I'm hearing ducks. Are there ducks in the trees? I have come down here to find ducks in the creek. I have found mallards and teals down here. But I don't see any ducks today. But I keep thinking I'm hearing ducks. And I'm not hearing ducks. What I'm hearing is the wind blowing the tops of the trees, and then they creak as they bend, and these creaks kind of sound like wood duck squeals. Tromp, tromp, tromp. All right. Just walking along here, listening to birds. Looking for marmots, but not finding any Annie. Looking for mushrooms, and of course, there's still none to be had yet. And here we are back at the log that we need to cross to get back to the other side of the creek. So, onto the log we go. How's my balance? Yeah, this log is about a meter and a half from the surface of the water of the creek. The creek itself is only, one, two, 3 meters wide. But like I said, this log runs very diagonally over it. So it's about a 10 meter balance beam. And if you fall off, you fall off into the creek. And you land in about 4 to 6 inches of water. Not very much. In other words, 10 to 15 centimeters of water. Okay, so that was an easy traverse. And I'm looking. There should be mutties around here. This is the mutty area. But there are no mutties today, so I'm just about to hit the access and head back up
and leave. So I think I'm going to go home. And I've got some weird stuff to show you anyway, so let's just go home and we'll get into some weird stuff. It's going to take me about 5 or 6 minutes, but to you, it will only seem like 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1, 0. And we're back in the studio. Hello. So what are we going to do now? Well, I said I had some weird stuff I wanted to show you, and I still do. I've got a couple of photographs that you need to see that are just sort of making me think. These are photographs that I have taken, and I don't know, maybe I need to get another opinion. But first we have to talk about drinks. I'm sitting here drinking some green Kool-Aid. I mean, some green powdered drink mix out of a styrofoam cup. And as delicious as it is, we have a slight problem. And that is, the styrofoam cup has lost its integrity. Whenever I eat at a restaurant like Abelardo's and they use styrofoam cups for their soft drinks, I always take the styrofoam cups home and reuse them over and over again, because whereas they are awesome, they are technically speaking bad for the environment. So I like to recycle them as much as possible. So that's what I've been doing. And this particular cup has seen too many thermal cycles, and so it's starting to leak. Yeah, it's sweating. It's not condensing water out of the atmosphere. Green Kool-Aid is slowly but surely leaking out the cracks between the beads of the styrene, and so this cup can no longer be used. And so we're going to give it a fitting send-off. So let's leave the studio here and go outside and do some wacky stuff. Now the weird thing is, we're going to have to go out the deck door, and my cat is downstairs sleeping on my futon. But as soon as she hears this door open, she's gonna get super excited, probably run right up here and start going kitty crazy. So I'm putting on my shoes. There's one, there's two. Unlocking the door, going out. Yeah, my cat's going to hear this door close and she's going to say, oh, it's time for kitty stuff to play outside. No. Okay, so I'm placing the cup on my deck rail and I'm reaching into my pocket for some small waterproof explosive charges. 50 milligrams of flash powder. I've got a lighter. Let's get this going. How am I going to do this? I only have two hands. Here, this will work. Lighting the lighter. Oh, now the wind is blowing. I cannot get a flame. Come on, give me some fire. And this is why we use a punk. So I'm gonna go get one. Be-whip, and I'm back. I've got the punk. I've got our explosive device. I'm now lighting it. There it goes. Drop it in the cup. It's bubbling. Here we go. Oh, kersplash, kabloosh. Oh, I got a lot wetter than I thought I would. It splashed me pretty good. And it blew the cup off the rail. Let's go get it. Ugh, stupid wind grabbing it. Oh, here's my kitty in the window. Hello, kitty in the window. You want to say hi? No, not when I stick the microphone in her face. So I'm going back indoors. And I gotta lock the door behind me so the cat doesn't get out. All right, so what does this cup look like? Well, the sides have been blown out. There's a huge crack. The base is half gone. No wonder it splashed so much water on me. That's fun. If this cup would have been new, I'm throwing it in the trash now.
if that cup would have been new, all the water would have just blown out the top. And so that's the fun part about using cups that have lost their structural integrity. They blow out the sides, the weakest spot, and water goes everywhere. Okay, so back into the studio we go. And get ready for some links. Okay, so our first photograph that we need to look at, and you should be seeing the link popping up right about now. And this is a kind of a big photograph, so it might take a few seconds to load. I had to take a fairly high-res picture just so I could get all the details of what this is. And if you're seeing the photograph now, you can see that we're looking at a sign that is advertising peanuts in a grocery store at a peanut display. And as you see, it says salted and unsalted peanuts, $1.99 per pound. And then there's a drawing of a very happy peanut. Now, you've probably noticed the interesting thing just as soon as you saw the photo, and that is, in the corners of this little signage, there is a food allergy warning, and it says, "Food allergy warning. Our food may contain peanut products." And this is written on the sign twice. Let me reiterate, it may contain peanut products. Are they sure? How do they know? I mean, are they absolutely positive that these salted and unsalted peanuts contain peanut products? I mean, how can they make that assumption? How could they possibly know? And down in another corner, you can see a little card that is sort of resting up against the sign held up by a bunch of peanuts that says, "Consumer Advisory. Peanuts and or tree nuts in bulk are present and openly..." And then the next word is probably "displayed" and blah, blah, blah. But we can't see it because there's too many peanuts in the way. This is a bad place for this little card. This sign, this little sign that says "Consumer Advisory," needs to be on the door of the grocery store, not behind a pile of peanuts, where a person who is allergic to peanuts would have to touch the peanuts to move them out of the way to read the consumer advisory that does in fact advise that peanuts and or tree nuts in bulk are present and openly displayed in this store. Yeah. So here we have some triple stupidity. This is the grocery store I go to quite often. They're not sure if their peanuts contain peanut products. That's why they say our food may contain peanut products. Notice that the signs do not say do contain or does contain peanut products. Yeah, it's just that stupid. And I like how they buried the other consumer advisory under the pile of peanuts so that, you know, I'm allergic to peanuts. I wonder if they have any peanuts here. Yes, we do. There's a sign stating that hiding underneath the peanuts. Good job, people. Good job. Welcome to stupidity. Okay, so now this next photograph, some other weirdness I found the other day. Yesterday, when I was, you know, going to see if I was allergic to peanuts, I was also out buying gasoline. And when I went to the gas station, you know, I walked in to pay, and you know how it is. They always have all the lottery tickets, all the scratch lottery dealies all displayed nicely. And near one of the scratch-off ticket displays was a little tub of some little black pieces of plastic. And I got really excited because I knew what they were without even having to pick one up and check it out. It's a special tool, a specific tool for scratching off lottery tickets. Now, a couple years ago, I decided I was going to start collecting these, and I actually spent a day, well, not a day, I spent maybe an hour driving around to various places trying to find these tools for scratching off lottery tickets, because in my lifetime, I've seen two or three different styles. And so when I was in the gas station, I grabbed a few of these because they were free. They're provided to you gratis by the Nebraska Lottery. And so I grabbed three of them, and as you can tell by looking at the photograph, they kind of look like guitar picks They're about that size, but they're, you know, about 5 to 10 times thicker than a guitar pick. Plus, they have a little thumb indentation on them for a better grip, ostensibly. And the narrow point, because this is an ovoid shape, the narrower point is sort of, you can't tell in the photograph, but it's sort of hollow underneath and it creates sort of a predatory bird beak profile. Apparently that's good for scratching off lottery tickets. And then there's a hole at the wide end so you can mount it to your key ring along with your bottle opener and all the other stupid crap people put on their key rings. I don't understand it. But the thing that's so weird about this, about these scratch-off tools, is that, well, how useless are they? I mean, really? Did we need somebody to design and manufacture a specific tool for scratching off lottery tickets? I mean, many people just use their fingernails, or coins, or keys, or anything. Anything can be used. Well, not anything, but you know where I'm going with this. Pretty much just about anything can be pressed into service as a lottery scratch-off tool. So why does this thing have to exist? Nobody knows. Which is what makes them interesting. This is pretty much a useless tool. It can't be used for anything else. You could not play a guitar with one of these. You would break strings and it would be a bad scene. This tool, so-called tool, serves no other purpose. It can't be used for anything else other than scratching off lottery tickets. And we don't even need a tool for that. So we're looking at an actual useless tool. Yeah, you can use it for scratching off lottery tickets, but come on. This thing is entirely gratuitous, which, you know, elevates it into the realm of art. All art is gratuitous. We don't need paintings. We don't need statues. We don't need any of these things to live and survive. We just have them just to make them. You know, we paint paintings just to have cool pictures, and we make statues, well, just to look at naked women, because everybody likes naked women, and that's what all statues pretty much are. Oh, sure, there's a few statues of naked guys, but let's face it. Art is a gratuitous gesture, and this tool, this so-called tool for scratching off lottery tickets, is gratuitous. It does not need to exist any more than a painting. It does not need to exist any more than a statue of an old and forgotten Greek god. Entirely gratuitous, it is now art. I'm glad I got three of these. Should I make a necklace? Should I put them with the rest of my guitar picks? What am I going to do with these things? I suppose I could buy some lottery tickets, but I don't have any money to do that, so we're not going to. I guess I'm just going to have to sit here and try to think of a use for this useless item. While I say, you have been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day right here on and on radio at 1930 UTC. So be sure to tune in tomorrow and all of next week, because who knows what weirdness I'm going to get up to. I got to go eat my lunch, so bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
It's 20 hours.